Shortly after signing the Declaration of War today, President Roosevelt approved an immediate appeal by the American Red Cross for a war relief fund of $50 million. Now we present the Honorable Norman H. Davis, Chairman of the American Red Cross, in a brief address to the American people launching this appeal. Mr. Davis.
An aggressor nation has destroyed the peace we patiently sought to keep, and America is at war. As a consequence, the American Red Cross has been placed on a wartime footing. Tonight, we issued an appeal for a war fund of $50 million to carry out our wartime responsibilities. Those responsibilities, both civilian and military, are clearly defined. Our services have been enlarged and expanded during the emergency, prior to the outbreak of hostilities. Indeed, our expenditures in the last year already have jumped from about $400,000 per month to $1 million monthly. And now that we are at war and the Red Cross faces new and heavier obligations, I say to you that we must have greatly increased resources to meet them. The present is no time for halfway measures. In time of crisis, the people of the United States do not work that way. I'm convinced, therefore, that there will be no halfway response to the organization's drive for at least $50 million to meet emergency needs. As chairman of the American Red Cross, I ask that you give generously so that the Red Cross may maintain its stations on the front lines of mercy. The attacks on Hawaii and the Philippines found the far-flung operations of the American Red Cross ready for instant action. Relief to the victims of Japanese bombings and the evacuation of civilians at those points give ample proof that the Red Cross was prepared. Already we've expended considerable sums in the last 24 hours. Red Cross workers are on the alert for similar calls to action throughout the nation and at all insular posts. The Red Cross now has nearly 1,000 trained workers in the military and naval camps and hospitals, nearly 2 million willing volunteers carrying on their work in the various chapters. Their ranks and our resources must be greatly augmented to keep pace with the growth of our military establishment, for the job they do is important to us all. Every Army and Navy post in the United States and our insular possessions is covered by these tireless men and women who handle the home and family problems of the men behind the guns. But this is not all. The Red Cross enrolls nurses for the Army and Navy. The Red Cross is furnishing large stores of life-giving blood plasma to the Army and Navy. The Red Cross is engaged in the production of millions of surgical dressings for the Army and Navy. And the Red Cross is training millions of our citizens in emergency first aid, nursing, and nutrition, all invaluable adjuncts of defense behind the lines. There are millions of our citizens who desire today to demonstrate their will to victory over the enemy. Not all can be in the armed forces, and not all can volunteer their services for humanitarian work, but all can volunteer their dollars to arm the Red Cross to be their representative at the scene of battle and distress. Today is the day to demonstrate our high morale, our unity, our determination, not alone to support our president and our fighting men at the front, but also to ensure to our wounded, homeless, and war sufferers that we stand 100% ready to aid them through the Red Cross. So let your contribution to the Red Cross War Fund be the badge of your loyalty to America. Please give generously through your local Red Cross chapter. Thank you.
You have heard the Honorable Norman H. Davis, Chairman of the American Red Cross, in an address to the nation, launching a $50 million war relief fund appeal. Mr. Davis spoke from Washington. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Here is the latest news from the NBC newsroom. White House Secretary Stephen Early announced tonight that President Roosevelt will make a nationwide broadcast at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time tomorrow. The president will give a more complete documentation of the Japanese attack on Hawaii, the Philippines, and other areas. Early said the broadcast over all networks will be for a half hour. Early also said the White House has received no information of a news character to add to the statement today that one battleship and a destroyer were sunk in the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. Asked about a report by the Japanese news agency Domai that the battleship Pennsylvania was sunk at Pearl Harbor, Early replied, "I don't think the president is going to name anything that was sunk there. The Pennsylvania is the flagship of the Pacific Fleet, by the way. I think that is military information," Early said. "A lot of folks not in the United States would like to know what has been sunk." Early was asked about rumors on Capitol Hill that four United States battleships were sunk. He answered, "Nothing about that will be said here." The blaze of battle is spreading furiously tonight in the Pacific. The Japanese have bombed the outskirts of Manila for the first time after blasting Philippine bases five times from the air during the day. And soon after American Britain formally declared war on Japan, the Tokyo radio claimed that the Japs have captured both Guam and Wake Island. The Japanese also have invaded Malaya by sea. British jungle fighters are grappling with them now in what is described as a heated battle. Singapore has been under aerial bombardment. A Manila report says the Japs use mustard gas, but this is not confirmed. In Hawaii, some 1,500 persons are dead and another 1,500 lie wounded as a result of Sunday's surprise aerial attack. But a late bulletin says Hawaii has been quiet ever since the first assault. The White House already has admitted that one old battleship was sunk, a destroyer blown up, and other ships seriously damaged in the Hawaii bombing. Japan is admitted to have scored initial successes. And Tokyo's radio tonight is boasting of naval superiority over the American fleet. Reports still persist of a great naval battle off Hawaii, and the sound of guns can be heard on the island. In the Philippines, the Japanese are said to have made a landing only 100 miles from Manila. However, it is reported that only a small Japanese force was involved in this thrust. Tokyo apparently fears swift revenge for the bombing. Tokyo is blacked out, says the Rome radio, and lesser Japanese cities are under partial blackout. The Japs continue to make staggering claims. The Tokyo radio says the American battleships Oklahoma and West Virginia were sunk off Hawaii, and that four other battleships and four A-class cruisers were severely damaged. In the same Hawaiian raid, an aircraft carrier is reported to have been sunk. The Japanese claim also that the minesweeper Penguin has been sunk off Guam. Tokyo claims further that strong plane formations have destroyed almost 300 American planes in the Pacific, and says landing operations on the Malayan Peninsula are progressing favorably. And in Thailand, the Japs claim by radio, the Bangkok government has withdrawn from the fighting. The Japanese also have occupied Shanghai, Tientsin, and Peking. America, on the other hand, claims merely that several Japanese warplanes and submarines have been destroyed. Britain says her forces in Malaya are fighting with the Japanese invaders, and the RAF is said to have set fire to two Japanese merchant ships carrying troops off northern Malaya. Both America and Britain are formally at war with Japan. America has been in the war since 4:10 Eastern Standard Time this afternoon. That was the time when the president finally signed the war bill, which was rushed through both houses in the record time of 33 minutes, with only one vote against it, that of Representative Jeanette Rankin, the Montana Republican, who also voted against America's entry into the First World War. In his speech to Congress, the president denounced the Japanese attacks as unprovoked and dastardly. "Always," he said, and we quote, "always we will remember the character of the onslaught against us. With confidence in our armed forces, with the unbounding determination of our people, we will gain the inevitable triumph. So help us God." Britain went into the war with a solemn declaration by Winston Churchill that the full available might of the British Empire would be used in prosecuting the struggle in closest accord with powerful American naval and air forces. Churchill's speech was notably blunt and devoid of dramatics. While the House of Commons cheered, he declared, and we quote, "It remains now for the great democracies to face the task with whatever strength God may give them. The task will probably be hard and long. We shall do our best." Thus, with the American and British declarations, the world is completely at war. First, Japan declared war on the United States and Britain, then both of them on Japan. Also declaring against Japan were Nicaragua, Canada, Australia, Costa Rica, Haiti, San Salvador, Dominican Republic, Honduras, Free France, the exiled governments of Belgium and the Netherlands. Expected to declare war soon on Japan and South Africa and Cuba. The latest to declare war on Japan is Guatemala. Mexico has broken relations with Japan and the army has been ordered mobilized. But Avila Camacho's government is cautious about an actual declaration of war. Colombia also has broken diplomatic relations with Tokyo. Elsewhere on the vast diplomatic and war fronts of the world, Vichy France has put forth her position. An authorized source said the government of Marshal Pétain will maintain neutrality in the Pacific. But in London, Lord Beaverbrook expressed that the Hitler might compel the Vichy French Navy to harass Britain and the United States in the South Atlantic. And of course, it will be remembered that the Japanese troops moved into Thailand from Indochina, where they were based by agreement with Vichy. Well, the lights are going out tonight in an America armed to the teeth. Blackouts have begun on the West Coast. Civilian evacuation has been ordered at a potential danger area in the metropolitan Los Angeles, the area immediately surrounding the Army post of San Pedro. The radio stations in areas in the Northwest United States have been ordered off the air. From snow-fringed Alaska to the Panama Canal, thousands of troops are on guard. In San Francisco, Los Angeles, and in the nation's capital, anti-aircraft muzzles are turned to the night sky. Searchlights are ready. The San Pedro evacuation is for women, children, and the aged round Fort Hancock. Colonel W.W. Hicks, commanding officer, describes it as a purely precautionary measure. The West Coast Air Force Interceptor Command has ordered the entire Pacific Coast area from the Canadian border to Roseburg, Oregon, blacked out. A big naval yard on the California coast also will be blacked out. Army officers have ordered all radio stations in Washington, Oregon, and western Idaho off the air for an indefinite period. All over the nation, and particularly on the West Coast, the roundup of Japanese aliens continues. On busy Capitol Hill, the Senate has passed and sent to the House a bill extending enlistments in the Navy, the Marines, and the Coast Guard for such time deemed necessary by the Secretary of Navy. The measure was adopted unanimously. And young men who joined the armed service as recently as last Saturday received telegrams before 8 o'clock this morning to report for service at once. The War Department announced that the Army will be expanded to 2 million men as rapidly as possible. The national capital has turned almost overnight into a city of uniform. Obeying the orders of the Secretaries of War and Navy, officers of the Army, the Navy, and the Marine Corps went to work in full military outfits. Also in Washington, Civilian Defense Director LaGuardia has issued a proclamation instructing citizens on what to do if an air raid comes. He says, keep cool, walk, don't run to shelter. Put out the lights, lie down if bombs fall, stay away from windows, and keep your radio turned on. There are reports that the German embassy staff is burning its documents and packing up in preparation to leave Washington. The Jap embassy burned its papers today in the yard with special inflammable powder which reduced them to ashes within seconds. The German embassy is reported to have done likewise, but this is denied by an embassy spokesman. German nationals are reported to have been arrested in the Isthmus of Panama. Deadly P-40 patrol planes are constantly droning over the lot. In Washington, all airplanes belonging to aliens have been ordered confiscated. Rigid censorship has been introduced. All cables are being censored. The Navy has invoked the 1918 Espionage Act, forbidding the conveyance or publication of any information which might be of use to the enemy. Special American guards are on duty inside the Japanese embassy. They are there to prevent Ambassador Nomura or any of his staff from attempting harakiri, the traditional ceremonial suicide. Meantime, the Treasury has ruled that Japanese in America cannot draw money from their bank accounts even for living expenses. The drastic order has been sent to all banks. Even safety deposit boxes have been sealed. And Soviet Ambassador Litvinov presented his credentials to President Roosevelt today. He spent 40 minutes with the chief executive discussing the situation created by the Japanese war. Litvinov said nothing was said as to the possible United States use of bases in Siberia. This news was from the NBC newsroom in Chicago. This is the National Broadcasting Company.